My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe.
This is Dr. Ben Mays chanting Psalm 4, part of a service that when I was a parish pastor I discovered was perhaps one of the best-kept secrets of the church's life of prayer. It's called Compline. You've probably never heard about it. It's prayer at the close of day. It's, I think Pastor Weed one time referred to it as the church's bedtime prayers. It's a good way of thinking about how the Christian and how the church ends each day. Now, of course, we are talking about these daily prayer offices in this series with Pastor Will Whedon. And, of course, this is, if we're counting days the right way, the church way, this is well into the day, but darkness has fallen. We begin the day with sleep in the church's way of thinking about it so that we wake up to those morning prayers that we'll get to in the latter part of our series on the daily prayer offices. Today, Compline Prayer at the Close of Day. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Whedon here in the first hour, Casey Luskin joins us from the Discovery Institute. Often people wonder whether or not they're skeptics of Darwinian evolution who are not religious. People who doubt Darwinian evolution, but not for religious reasons. Casey's found some. We're going to talk about some of those individuals within the Darwinian community. Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse will join us for the last half hour of the program. You might have heard about these comments made by a lesbian activist and journalist about the institution of marriage. She says, look, if we're going to push for gay marriage, let's at least be honest and say that we're not really talking about including gays in the institution. We're talking about destroying the institution. We'll get Jennifer Oback Morse's response to those comments and her thoughts on what's really going on in the push for gay marriage in hour two of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or you can leave a question or a comment for Pastor Will Whedon during the first hour on our ongoing series on the daily prayer offices at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you and talk about this great service.
Why is it so few people know about Compline? I mean, it is a gem prayer service,
yeah.
But it is probably the least known of the prayer services that still continue in practice in the church today.
Yeah, I suspect it's probably least known because it really is not a preaching service. There's no place for a sermon really at all in this service. And so it would be merely a matter of coming together to pray this beautiful service that doesn't last terribly long. I mean, if you do it to the max with all the psalmody that you could in there, it's still a service that's over in about 15, 20 minutes tops. And I suspect that that's led to, you know, pastors, when they look at planning services, look at this and think, well, that's not really, you know, that's hardly worth getting the people out for something 20 minutes long. But where it is used and where it's been learned, it becomes a very, very popular thing. We had a teacher at our school at one time. She is a recent graduate from one of our synodical schools. And I remember her asking me, Pastor Whedon, do we ever sing a Compline here? And I, you know, what we did, we at that time we did it on Wednesday nights after a Bible class. You know, it was not something that was a regular feature. And so it was a handful of people singing in the dark into church, but it was a great experience. And she was like, oh, I was hoping a big service, like a normal service. But it's a favorite. Once people get to know it, they really do love it.
Where did it come from?
Well, that's a really good question. We know that when St. Basil the Great was putting together his monastic rounds, he had something that we could only call a bedtime prayer. I mean, the monks had their evening service, you know, but this was a bedtime prayer before the monastics would go to bed. And when Benedict of Nursia started putting together his service, I mean, he died in 547. He put a rule, if you will, together for the monastic communities in the West, and Compline was part of the order at that time, and he has a couple things he said about Compline quite early on. Listen to this. He says, Compline will be celebrated by chant and with the name Compline. That's an English version or a corruption of the Latin completorium, which just means finished, the completion. You know, so at the end of the day, when things are done, he says that there will be three psalms without antiphons, then the proper hymn of the hour, one lesson, a versicle, the Kyrie, the blessing, and the dismissal. That's how he described it in paragraph 17 of the rule. In paragraph 18, he adds that the psalms that are to be used are invariably 491 and 134, recited every single day of the year. So three psalms prayed each night, and this was the form that Compline had at the very first record we have of it in the West. And it continued to grow little by little, but its basic shape and genius is usually attributed to St. Benedict of Nursia. And it's been a gem, a treasure gem ever since. It is, in every sense, the church's Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer. The logic of its flow is impeccable. I mean, it starts, after initial blessing and versicles, it's going to have reflection. You know, a Christian does not end the day without thinking back over his or her actions and thoughts and words during the day and then seeking God's forgiveness. Beautiful.
Does it also highlight— many people kind of consider this too steep a learning curve. A pastor says, I can't do this in my church. No one's ever done it before. We can't do evening prayer vespers. The people haven't done it for years. You've highlighted here, especially in these prayer offices, that they don't have to take an hour. They don't have to have sermons. And not to make it sound like you shouldn't, but they don't take a ton of preparation for a pastor or for a congregation either.
Right. It's mostly they're easily done for you. And I want to stress with the music of Compline, unlike the other, this is almost 100% Gregorian, which is actually simple. So to lead it, you only have to learn how the music goes. It's very, very simple. And we have resources that can help people master that. You don't need any accompaniment. In fact, I would urge that at Compline, accompaniment usually it detracts rather than adds. If ever there were a service where the human voice alone is intended to carry it, this is it. And if you think, oh, I'm not sure I can handle the music, just pray the words. You know, they're fabulous to be spoken to.
So maybe the best thing to do is just to— you said you talked about the logic and the flow.
Yeah.
Let's
jump in and see how it begins. It starts out with a blessing. This is unusual, and you don't have any other liturgy that begins with, the Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. Amen. So right at the start, you're alerted. This service is a little different. There's a number of things in this service that strike you as being different. All the other services, the other offices, except for Matins, remember, had begun with something about make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. But that's not the case here with Compline. After the initial blessing, we have a couple of verses from Psalm 92 given. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to herald your love in the morning and your truth at the close of the day. Wow. We're praying the Lord grant us peaceful rest, quiet night. And then we say, but before we go to bed, it is just good to give thanks to God. That is one of the great joys of life itself. It is what, as we said before, what time itself was made for, to give thanks to Him and to praise His name. And then the content of praising His name, how do we do it? We herald, we proclaim His love in the morning, and we proclaim His truth at the close of the day. We're going to speak the truth about God in this service. And the truth about His loving care of us, as we're going to hear, especially in the Psalms.
Now, that truth, you said before the term reflection, mm-hmm. that truth is first spoken in terms of what God has said about us, about our thoughts and our words and our deeds, mm-hmm. that the Christian, at the end of the day, never ends the day without, we would say in kind of emotional terms, regret. In biblical terms, never ends the day without a reason to repent. About a minute before we take our break.
Right. I think that is one of the most amazing things about our church's prayers. Every morning we ask, like the eternal optimist, we say, you know, oh Lord, may our doings be without sin this day. And every evening we're the consummate realist. we begin by confessing our sins together. And the nature of this particular confession is one that we're going to have to dig into a lot more than just a 30-second deal.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue this part four of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices. Today we're talking about Compline, prayer at the close of day. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are coming to you live on this Thursday afternoon, May the 9th. We do invite your questions and your comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio. We get those emails in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc or at our Facebook fan page. We have left space for you to leave a question or a comment for Pastor Whedon on Compline. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. And we're giving away the CD, Evening and Morning, Music of the Lutheran Daily Prayer. Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Evangelical and Catholic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Into your hands I
bit of the responsory from the service that we're looking at in this, the fourth part of our series with Pastor Will Wheaton on the Daily Prayer Offices, Compline. Into your hands I commend my spirit. That would be Psalm 31. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes here on Issues, Etc. It's the Contrary of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with that responsory. Will, we've come to that point where the truth is spoken, this confession. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. And I've always wondered about that in our privatistic age.
Yeah.
Where, and this is glaring in Compline, in our privatistic age, I will confess my sins to God, but I'm not going to admit anything in front of anyone else.
In the presence of another person. Right, right. That's one of the most amazing things. Compline at the beginning, at the very beginning of the liturgy here, is calling all of us to recognize when we come together as church, we're not coming together with the few people that you see around you. You're together with the whole church. The people who are here, yes, but even bigger. Look at the prayer. I confess to Almighty God before the whole company of heaven. Now, that is an abbreviation of the traditional words at that point, where they started listing them out. Confess to, you know, Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, to say, you know, John the Baptist, to Peter and Paul. And they named, I mean, it went on forever, naming all these people out. Well, they wisely said, let's just clip that and say before the whole company of heaven. And to you, my brothers and sisters, I confess to you, as well as to God and in front of all the company of heaven, I've sinned. And my sin is not relegated to my deeds. It is there in my thoughts and in my words, as well as my deeds. And that, lest anybody misunderstand, you ever have one of those apologies where, I'm sorry you made me do that? So the confession takes care of that and says, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Yes, in Adam we sin it all. Definitely true, but we own here that we are the ones who sinned in Adam. We are the ones. It's our sin.
This is actually the source, the Latin of the you know, often quoted mea culpa.
Yeah, mea maxima culpa. Yeah.
But it's not, you said the word own, which is kind of a popular way of saying it. We totally own our own transgressions here in this confession.
We own them before God. And notice, like all the good confessions of the church, they're not named out. How on earth are you going to spend the time? I mean, it's worse than trying to name out all the members of heaven is to try to name out all the sins in your life. And so we simply name that we name them all together. I confess that I have sinned in what I say and what I speak and what I do. And I ask God to have mercy on me, to forgive me my sins, and to bring me to a life that never ends, to everlasting life. And then look at this. Who has made this confession? Do you see this here? Who made the confession?
It's not bold text, and it says that the liturgist, the leader
liturgist,
has done
it. So in other words, the person leading the service, and most of the time the pastor, he leads this confession and confesses before the congregation. And then the royal priesthood of the baptized, they take it upon themselves to do that which is most characteristic of God's royal priesthood. They speak the words of forgiveness to the pastor. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. So they absolve the pastor. And then they confess their sins, same words, and then the pastor absolves them. So you have this beautiful operation of the royal priesthood here, and a confession that all this stuff, everything that's happening in the service, is taking place not in front of a little group, but in front of God. And because God is there, all the saints and angels are there. And because all the saints and angels are there, the entire church is gathered together as one.
We often end our days as Christians, the way everybody else ends our days, those are some of the most private moments.
Yeah,
of our lives. When we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, we don't generally throw the windows open for the neighbors to see us going to bed at night. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And I wonder why it is useful here, why it is good that the Christian turns out from his little private room, out from himself at the end of the day, to his, not only to God or to the company of heaven, but to his brothers and sisters.
Yeah, it's a recognition of that fundamental nature of a human person is that we live, I mean, a person is a person in community. that this is right down to the heart of the very Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a community of persons in a unity of substance. So with the Christian at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, and throughout, we remember that we live this day in Christ, and so because we're in Christ in this day, we're never alone. The tug outward is a constant in the church's liturgy. Remember Luther's words, the Christian lives outside of himself. He lives in God by faith and in his neighbor by love. And everything that's wrong and the sin in our world and the sin in our lives is this bend in on self. So when God is in the process of unbending us, pulling us out of himself, out of ourselves, to himself and to each other, it's inevitably going to show up in the way that we pray.
There's an alternate confession here.
Yeah.
And
this is a modern one.
It's a modern one. It has a virtue of its own.
It does.
I think I would prefer the standard if given a choice, but it has a virtue of its own in that it admits that our knowledge of our own sin is part of our problem.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? You know, who can know his own faults? And so the confession begins, the modern one says, "Holy and gracious God, I confess that I've sinned against you this day. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and the words and deeds of which I'm ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me that I may rest in peace." And then there's a comforting promise given. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. We rest now in his peace. We rise in the morning to serve him. So another very beautiful prayer that can be used there as an alternate confession. And I noted that one of our questions that appeared on Facebook was about whether or not it was appropriate to use this confession and forgiveness in other locations. In other words, could this be used at the divine service? And, historically, the answer is that was the confession also used at the divine service, the confidere, not the shorter one, the longer one. I confess
the mea culpa
God
one.
Right, yeah,
right.
Exactly. So, it certainly is appropriate there too. But for us, it certainly lives in Compline as a beautiful way to start that out. We move from the confession, though, to the psalmody. And what's kind of unique about this order of service with the psalmody is historically the same psalm is always used every single night. You use Psalm 4, which we heard at the beginning of the hour. You use Psalm 91, and you use Psalm 134. And these same psalms prayed every single day. Well, how long do you think it's going to be take before you have them totally memorized, right? Fabulous, fabulous way to put those scriptures into your heart and into your mind. Psalm 4, of course, is the premier, evening psalm. Turn to it there real quickly in the front of the book. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You've given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer. O men, how long will my honor be turned to shame? How long will you love vain or empty words and seek after lies, or seek after the idols, the lies? Know that the Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Now, here's why it's said in the evening. Ponder in your hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Remember Hebrew parallelism? Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. What's a right sacrifice?
Putting your trust in
the Lord. So what is the greatest sacrifice that we can give is to have our, as we're on our bed, time when a lot of time you have anxious thoughts chasing each other in your mind as you're laying there going to sleep. No. Not a time for that. A time instead to trust in the Lord. He is the one who watches out over us. He puts more joy into our heart than any kind of material prosperity can give. And so the final words of the psalm, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep because you alone make me dwell in safety. I'm going to lay down and I'm not going to be able to protect myself now. I can't protect my family. I can't do anything. I'm asleep. Who's going to protect me? The Lord. He's the one watching out for me. Beautiful words to pray every night, aren't they?
If a programmatic question, if a congregation says we're not going to do all three psalms, but we're going to do one of those three, would four be the one that you would say do every night?
I would lift up four as the first one. 91 is a fabulous psalm too, of course, the snare of the fowler, though the Lord is the one who rescues you. And again, notice the same thought. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of any of the stuff out there. The Lord's got your back. That's the burden of the psalm. Psalm 134, little psalm that is about blessing the Lord in the night. And so that sort of fits out and rounds out the psalmody. But the burden of the psalmody is you can put your head down and be at peace because God's got your back covered. He's got you. You're safe in his hands. You're safe in his keeping. And I don't think that we can, especially in trouble sometimes, we cannot comfort ourselves with those promises too often.
Does this, with only about 30 seconds here, does this psalmody, in a sense, take the place or serve in part the function of what preaching would in another service?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, because those psalms become so familiar, and they do preach to you. They proclaim to you, you do not need to be afraid.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's part four of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices today, Compline Prayer at the Close of Day. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Australian doctors have come up with a cheap and simple answer to a serious health problem with premature babies. NEC is when the baby's gut has bad bacteria instead of the good stuff, and it can be a deadly condition. It can also cause cerebral palsy. There's no effective treatment to cure NEC, so they concentrate on preventing it. The doctors found that giving a preemie a probiotic supplement with breast milk through a feeding tube is successful. So much, they now routinely give it to all babies born 8 weeks or more premature. At first, it cut the cases of bowel disease in half, but now all babies given the probiotic at Nepean Hospital have avoided the disease. The treatment also reduces inflammation. Let's hope that American hospitals are soon giving it here.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Oh,
school with the hymn Before the Ending of the Day. It's actually a very common office hymn that fits beautifully within Compline, the service that we're studying here with Pastor Will Whedon in part four of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Let's talk a bit about that office hymn. As far as I know, this service has just one hymn. Right there at the center before the...
Yeah, there's another place where you can put one, but it's really not... It's best to just let there be one. Let the one hymn do the job.
You talked earlier in our series about how we will have psalm, 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 then hymn. And
right.
That's a pretty appropriate thing to do. Why again, is that what the church does?
Well, we move from the songs that the Holy Spirit inspired and gave us in the Scriptures to the songs that the church responds to those songs with, if you will. And this hymn... It's just got the most beautiful... Just let me read the text, because it's not long. It's only three stanzas, three short little stanzas. And again, regularly used every day. Before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray. Thy grace and peace to us allow, and be our guard and keeper now. Noticing a saying back to God of what you heard from the Psalms? From all the terrors of the night, from evil dreams defend our sight. Drive far away our wicked foe, that stain of sin we may not know. That first stanza, very much Psalm 4. The second stanza, very much Psalm 91. And then the third stanza, O Father, this we ask be done through Jesus Christ, thine only Son, who with the Holy Ghost and thee both lives and reigns eternally, evokes Psalm 134 with the blessing of the triune God. So it's a very fitting response to all of the psalms that we just heard.
I wanted to ask you about the end there, because while these daily prayer offices do serve beautifully to mark time, the church never gets stuck in time. And then we're talking about the eternal reign of Christ and the Holy Trinity at the ending of that hymn, that the church is still mindful, even as every day kind of clicks off the calendar, that time isn't all there is.
Oh, yes, that's right. She is confessing and looking forward to, and especially in this service, she is looking forward to the parousia. The parousia is big, and death is big in the service. I mean, we're going to hear that's a constant theme. She knows that time itself runs out for every individual in this age, in this world. But she also knows that there is an age and a time that is beyond all times, where Christ reigns in his kingdom and where all of all believers in Christ are finally headed. The joy of the kingdom.
Before we get too far from the confession of sins, there is a question from one of our listeners. From Tim in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, Compline is the only liturgy where the pastor and the congregation absolve each other. How did this originate, and why is this not done in the other offices or the divine service?
Well, it originated very early. It is the form of confession. I said that when at the time of the Reformation already, this was the normal way to begin confession and absolution in the divine service. The invocation of the saints that was part of the original prayer led to the reformers saying, we need something better than that to substitute here. And they didn't at that time think of just dropping the saints and saying before the whole company of heaven. I should add, in the original prayer, wherefore I pray, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and the saints to pray for me to the Lord our God. That was part of the prayer. So they didn't, as very typical, Lutherans did not tend to try to rework that prayer. They instead just substituted new confessions that they wrote themselves that were pretty deep and radical confessions of human nature's corruption that we inherited from Adam. So the other confessions that we wrote sort of took that place. This particular form, though, of having the liturgist, if you will, first confess and then receive this absolution, that was a part of pre-Reformation liturgy.
And should we also note that it was also that was practiced in the context of, by and large, private confession and absolution being also practiced by the church.
It was also being practiced, but the actual form of the confiteor that we have here is the form of the, I guess you could only call it the priest preparation before the celebration of the divine service. He prays this at the foot of the altar with the assistants on either side doing the part of the congregation to say, to speak the absolution and then to make their own confession and hear his absolution.
All right. the readings from Holy Scripture,
yeah,
there are a lot of them that you could choose from. All of them are remarkably short.
Yeah, they are. It's, you know, the service just picks up a, you know, a, and historically, the one that was there at this point is that first one from Jeremiah chapter 14. You, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. That was the whole thing. This one at the bottom, the last one from 1 Peter, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Especially these words, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That was at the beginning of Compline in the medieval times, and I think that Rome might have kept it up there at the beginning to this day, but I'm not really sure of that. But those two are historic readings for Compline, and the rest were just other beautiful passages of Scripture that were included. Notice there's no, like I said, no preaching. The text itself will do the sermon. Hey, this is a sermon. If you hear, the Lord is in the midst of us, and we're called by his name, and he's not going to leave us. There's preaching right there. The response to the reading is the responsory itself, which is, as you noted earlier, based out of Psalm 31. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. Into your hands, I commend my spirit. You can't hear those words and not think of what? Jesus on the cross.
I mean, those are Christ's words.
Yeah, he's praying Psalm 31 on the cross at the end, where, you know, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. Then the confession, if you think of Christ, you can't help but think right away of the second part of that Psalm 31, verse 5. You've redeemed me. You've redeemed me, O Lord God of hosts, God of truth, rather. And then into your hands I commend my spirit, the Gloria Patri, you know, glory to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is the God to whom I am addressing this prayer. Into your hands I commit my spirit.
We're not dying, though. We're just getting ready to go to bed, but...
But we are.
Could you talk about how the church always associates the two?
Yeah, think about how Scripture throughout the, you know, when Jesus speaks, what does Jesus say about the Jairus' daughter? He said, she's not dead. The girl's not dead. She's sleeping. And remember, they all laugh at him because they know she's dead. But to God, death is a sleep, because he wakens us from death as easily as we waken, or easier than we wake a teenager from sleep, you know, wake up when God calls our names. On that great, joyous last day. So with Scripture running death and sleep together as a constant theme, we realize every night there's something that's very much like a little death when you put your head down on the pillow and conk out for a while. And in preparation for that, the entirety of Compline is, okay, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I mean, that's exactly what this responsory says. Into your hands, I commit my spirit.
Is it also perhaps a little unintended insight into, because all we get from Jesus on the cross is, into your hands, I commend my spirit. Mm-hmm. We don't get, and all we get out of, you know, Psalm 22 is, my God, why have you forsaken me? But many guests here on the program have suggested, when we've been looking at the Passion accounts, that Jesus is actually speaking out loud parts of the psalm, the entirety of which he is praying while he is on the cross.
That would be that's how a good Jew would have used the Psalter, right? I mean, they lived it. They lived in the Psalter. And we know that the whole thing is Jesus' Psalter. It's all his prayers. And so, yes, I would hear Psalm 31 not just in an isolated verse, but that this is a beautiful prayer that a man who's dying takes up on his lips to pray.
The possibility of another hymn there. What would you recommend?
I would recommend no hymn there. That's got a may rubric. A hymn may be sung. This hymn is not historically there. It's not historically part of anything. Let the service have its one hymn and continue on. So then follows prayer. And the prayer begins with the three little praises, three little, you know, versicles from the Psalms. Hear my prayer, O Lord, listen to my cry, Psalm 102. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings, Psalm 17. And then Psalm 17 again, in righteousness I shall see you. When I awake, your presence will give me joy. Do you hear the double entendre in that? Think about what we've just heard about sleep and death. And so keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me in the shadow of your wings. You know, the protection theme again. but in righteousness, in your righteousness, in the gift of Christ's righteousness, I will see you. On the last day, my eyes will behold you. I will see you. And when I awake, when you waken me from death, your presence will give me joy. Well, it's also true that when you wake me up in the morning, if you wake me up this next morning, your presence will give me joy again. But it's all looking forward to that glorious, great morning that knows no evening in the kingdom of our Father.
There are, again, kind of many options for short prayer, short prayers.
These
but the first
colics.
One first one is the real one, isn't it? Present, merciful Lord.
Actually, it's not. It's a real one. It's very old, from the Leonine Sacramentary, which, you know, although attributed to Pope Leo, it dates from probably sometime in the 500s is a good guess. The actual one that's the quote real one, if you will, the one that was in Compline originally is number 4, which in our if you count down 4, that's the one. We'll have to talk about it, I guess, on the other side of the music.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about how it is those first celebrating and praying Compline, what actual prayers they said. We'll be right back.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. That is the Nunc Dimittis and its introduction from Compline, sung by the Contrai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest in this part 4 of our weekly series on the daily prayer offices. He is director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's also going to be speaking at next month's Making the Case Conference. That's our very first Issues Etc. conference, held here in Collinsville, Illinois, June the 14th and the 15th. He's going to be making the case for classical worship. We were actually talking about that before we came on the air. We're helping him prepare for making the case for classical worship at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You can register online, issuesetc.org. It's very simple, $100 per person, 3 meals included. We have a bulletin insert for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference that you can also download and print off and give to your secretary or your pastor. Say, include this in your Sunday bulletin all through the month of May and help advertise the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. If you'd like to register online, if you have any more questions, issuesetc.org, or give Craig a call, 618-223-8385. Let's talk about that prayer that is as original to Compline as you can get.
Yeah, it is.
What is it? What does it say?
It goes like this. Visit our dwellings, O Lord, and drive from them all the snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace. And let your blessing be on us always through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, this beautiful little peaceful prayer, asking God's presence, asking the holy angels to, you know, live in our house with us and to preserve us in God's peace and to let his blessing always be on us. There's not been one day in the last 1,500 years and more that some Christian hasn't been praying these words come nightfall when they go to bed. I mean, it's a very ancient prayer, and it just breathes the entire spirit of the Compline service. But it's not the only one here. There are a number of other prayers that are worth considering. You mentioned that first one. It is very ancient, too. Be present through the hours of this night so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of life may find our rest in you. The second one is one of the most beautiful in its poetry. And curiously, the second prayer was not originally a prayer. It was the end of a homily that John Henry Newman delivered. And somebody said, oh, those words are too good. And we don't even know who it was, but they took the end of his homily and turned it into a prayer. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, the busy world is hushed, the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, Lord, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last through Jesus Christ our Lord. The third prayer, be our light in the darkness, O Lord, that's another very ancient prayer from the Galatian Sacramentary named after Pope Galatius, who died right before 496, I think, and his certainly compiled later, but the book was compiled later. But some people will say, here's a prayer that does reach back into the 5th century, two other prayers there. They're both lovely and worth considering. But to me, the one that is sine qua non is the visit our dwellings, O Lord.
Now, the Lord's Prayer is prayed as one would expect in any proper prayer office.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes those words that we heard coming out of the break. Guide us waking, guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. And Katie in Portland, Oregon has a question about that. She says, could you please expand on the scriptures behind that phrase? It's a liturgical verse, mm-hmm. but it has a lot of good scripture behind it, doesn't it?
Yeah, the idea of guide us waking, O Lord. The Lord Jesus had consistently reminded his disciples, stay awake and watch. You do not know the day and the hour. Stay awake at all times and pray. How many times do we have these phrases ringing through the gospel? Sometimes they are rendered, like in the King James, I think they are rendered, watch and pray. Mm-hmm. So the recognition that when we are awake, what we are doing when we're guided by the Lord is that we're waiting and watching for that glorious moment of the Lord's appearing, of the parousia. And yet we recognize we can't stay awake all the time. And like the disciples in Gethsemane, oh, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we fall asleep, but we pray. So Lord, when we're not watching and waiting for your glorious return, would you be watching over us, guard us sleeping so that awake, we may watch with Christ and asleep, rest in peace, and especially watching with Christ for that joyous moment when the signal is given and the appearing of the Lord happens.
Why is the Nunc Dimittis a feature that is appropriate here?
Well, again, it focuses on Simeon is ready to die. He's held in his arms, the Savior of the world. He has seen with his own eyes the destruction of death, the forgiveness of all sins. He's seen and held him. And so with that Lord before him, he's ready to go. Lord, you can let me now go in peace. So literally every night in Compline, the church's prayer is, okay, God, I can die now. I can die now in peace because I have seen your salvation in Jesus Christ. I have seen it. And having welcomed it and having received all that you have for me in your Son, I am ready to go. You can take me now. Again, as I said before, it's the now I lay me down to sleep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Now, I got some general questions, and we got some other questions from our listeners, so we'll extend our conversation a little bit into hour two. Let's deal with the benediction, though. It is a kind of, it's kind of the simple form of the benediction.
It is, but do you notice something else that's missing? No benedicamus. No, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, and that was all.
That's like all over the place. That's how the services end.
Why not?
Well, this one's going to not end. I mean, remember, that's how they all originally ended. This one's not going to end just with exhorting us to bless the Lord, because this one is your time for you to go to bed. It ends with the Lord's blessing on us. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and keep us, or bless you and keep you. Actually, the traditional form at this point, no matter who leads the service, is actually us. Bless us and keep us. And this petition that, or this blessing at the end, is very much like the petitions that have run throughout the entire liturgy. It asks that God would be the one guarding and keeping us at this time of most of our greatest helplessness, when we are asleep and we can do nothing to defend or protect ourselves. We go to sleep remembering the blessing of God is upon me, and He is watching over me, and I can sleep in peace.
These three services that we've talked about, the three evening services, be they Vespers, evening prayer, Compline, they all kind of have their own little peculiarities, mm-hmm. good stuff in every one of them. Speak generally, if you would, about the church constantly at prayer, and especially when we're tempted most not to pray.
Yeah.
I think the end of the day...
If ever there were a time you say, I'm too tired to pray now, right?
And I need to get to sleep. I've got to get up in the morning. Yeah. All those things rolling around.
Oh, yeah. I cannot tell you the number of times that I prayed Compline, beginning at Compline, and have thought, I really don't want to do this. I just want to go to bed. It's happened more than once. But my goodness, as soon as you begin praying it, we said before, peace is the sort of the theme of the evening services. That same sort of peace really rings through Compline as well. But the peace of being ready to die. And at the end of the day, sometimes that's how you feel. You feel like, oh my gosh, I think I don't have the strength to go on. Well, in a sense, you don't. You're getting ready to lay down. And as you offer these prayers, though, the refreshment and the peace. I've often started Compline grousing that I was there praying Compline, but I've never ended it without just the most joyous, it's like, oh, thank you, God. What a gift. I didn't deserve it. I wasn't even thinking about, all I wanted to do was I didn't want to think about you. I wanted to go to bed and put my head on the pillow and go to sleep. And here you come in these words and you comfort me and you prepare me for a night's rest. And I go to sleep. Remember how Luther ends the little evening prayer? He says, and then go to sleep at once. Good cheer. And that is exactly how Compline prepares you to go to sleep. Put your head down on the pillow, and you can go to sleep at once in a good cheer. Sin is forgiven.
We've got about a minute before we break. We'll pick it up on the other side in hour two. I think we have in our culture today this notion that we're supposed to go until we fall over mm-hmm. into bed. And that a person like you kind of has a natural inclination toward that. Does this also help to service and say, stop, slow down, there is a time to stop working?
Yeah, this is the spirit of this liturgy definitely is a be still and remember who is God. Know that I am God. I will be exalted on the earth. I. And that is a much needed remembrance in this day and age. When we do, we tend to want to just keep on trucking, keep on working. And it's like, no, at the end of the day is the time for quiet and for peace. And if we do this going into our sleep, I really think our sleep is, it's healed a lot. Keep your mind racing all the way through till you put your head on your bed. And guess what? Your mind keeps on racing when your head's on the pillow. But take the time to let your entire being just sink down into the peace of God and Jesus Christ. And when you put your head down on the pillow, you actually might go to sleep at peace.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We will pick this up in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., another 10 minutes with him, part 4 of our weekly series on the Daily Prayer Offices. Today, Compline, the prayer at the close of the day. We'll get to some of our listeners' questions or comments, and we invite them as well. Our call-in number on this Thursday afternoon, May the 9th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. And we're giving away the CD, Evening and Morning, The Music of Lutheran Daily Prayer. We'll be right back.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues, Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Choir of All Saints Episcopal with Easter Carol playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. At LutheranPublicRadio.org, you can hear the church's music 24/7 year-round, and it is the church's music, so it follows the course of the church year at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Now, we have a real treat for you after the broadcast of Issues, Etc. at 5 Central tonight, because it is Christ's Ascension being celebrated by the church today. We're going to be streaming 90 minutes of Ascension hymns, solid 90 minutes of Ascension hymns, beginning 5 Central tonight at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Tune in and listen. It's part 4 of our weekly series on the Daily Prayer Offices. Today, Compline, the prayer at the close of the day. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest director of worship and chaplain for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod's International Center, and he's with us for another 10 minutes. Questions from our listeners, from Eric in Pennsylvania. We use Compline for family devotions before we go to bed. The tempo of the music seems so slow. Is this intentional, or is it okay to speed it up? Two things there. First of all, talk about it. Home use for
Yeah, comfort. It's perfect for home use. And a lot of families do use this as the way to, you know, close out the day, especially with the kids. They love to give kids the same thing over and over again. They eat it up. And so it's very, very fitting for a family to pray this together. I remember it was this past August, I guess, my son-in-law said, let's pray Compline before we go to bed. And it was just so much fun to sing it together. I tried to make him lead it, but he wouldn't do it. Great practice. Now, the tempo, there's always room for variation on tempo. I assume you're referring to the tempo that occurred in the CD for Lutheran Daily Prayer, Evening and Morning. But it can certainly go faster. I think you do want to keep, though, a sense of peace permeating. For example, you really wouldn't want to say, before the ending of the day, Creator of the world, we pray thy grace and peace to us, allow and be our guardian. I mean, you sort of lose something by racing through. So a nice even pace, I think, somewhere in the middle, not really slow and not really fast.
And this is this is something that you mentioned, the children, and then you mentioned if this is prayed every day, if this is these psalms are said every day. It's not long before you don't need the book anymore. You don't even need the notes. It's right there. It's how you pray.
It's how you pray. I will confess that I struggle still with the words of the psalms because, you know, I learned all my psalms in the King James. I get all befuddled when I have to do the ESV.
Janice in Longmont, Colorado. In this culture of daily busyness, of families in general, how realistic is it to expect the congregants to gather every night at church for nightly prayers? I'm new to the Lutheran doctrine and eager to understand all of the reasons for the liturgies and prayers and have so much to learn. Thank you for the program. I believe I have more unlearning to do than learning. Talk about the busyness and the kind of the realistic expectations.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, years ago when it was possible to gather together people in the evening to pray compline, you had people that tended to live near each other, not like that were, you know, the congregation was people that walked to church because you could literally get there that way. It's a very different thing in our modern world. And I suggest that for most people, the natural place to pray compline is actually your family. If your congregation has meetings, though, for example, you have a council meeting, whatever. What a great way to end the council meeting. Pray compline together. Or, after a voters assembly, get together in the sanctuary and pray compline. Let it be a way of closing out the evening at church.
The other difference there, of course, is that we're talking about back maybe two generations, they weren't staying up until 1 or 2 in the morning like us night owls.
Yeah, yeah.
They were going to bed earlier, so it wasn't like, well, we've got to go over to church at midnight for compline before we go to bed.
Right.
It was probably closer to 8 o'clock at night.
8, 9, somewhere in there. Yeah, it's usually compline is after it is dark, so it'll take, depending on the time of the year, in 9 o'clock or so.
Mary in Southern Illinois says, every year our pastor does a Gregorian chant retreat where we meet, learn, chant, and pray at least 5 times a day. In between, we play and eat and talk and enjoy each other. It's a most joyful experience that I wish every person, especially confessional Lutherans, could have. Compline is my favorite, says Mary, and it's good to hear about it on Issues, etc. Mary, thanks for listening in Southern Illinois. Talk about what may be increasingly unfamiliar to people, this form of music.
Yeah, this form of music is absolutely a gem, and it's a shame that a lot of people are prejudiced against it. It really is super stuff. Luther wanted to keep it and not lose it at all.
The Gregorian chant,
the sound of the Gregorian chant. We have had, in our own generation, the publication of an incredibly amazing resource called the Brotherhood Prayer Book, put out by Ben Mays and company. And Dr. Mays provides on his Lutheran Liturgical Prayer Brotherhood website, if you just Google Lutheran Liturgical Prayer Brotherhood, it will come up. He provides incredible help for learning how to use the chants. You have the book in front of you, and you can follow along, learn the staff. It's a different staff than we're used to in music. If you read musical notes, you're already well on the way, but you got to learn how to read it. He does a great job with it. And Southern Illinois, I'm assuming that probably is Pastor Mark Buto's parish, is my guess. I know he's very dedicated to the use of the Brotherhood Prayer Book as well. So if you want more than what you have in Lutheran Service Book. I mean, the Psalms in Lutheran Service Book are so easy that anybody can do them if you just, spend 15 minutes with them. It's a little bit more difficult with the Gregorian chant, but it's worth learning it. I've been to one of Ben Mays' workshops. That was just amazing. The man's incredible.
What is it that makes it Gregorian? I mean, I'm a neophyte as opposed to other forms of chant that the church continues to use.
Well, Gregorian usually describes this form of chant that came to predominate in the Western church, named after the traditional person who is thought of as being the genius behind it was Gregory the Great, Pope Gregory the Great. So it spread throughout the Western Church. It's a very easy way of chanting. It gives the text very clear predominance, and it has a lot of flexibility in it as well. It's if you hear some of the ornaments that Pastor Mays puts in when he sings it, you realize it's a stunning thing. It's the form of Western church music for 1,000 years. It's a long time. So it's a link to ancient sound, if you will. And there are all kinds of variations that you hear on it. But I think it was the monastery at Salem sort of brought it into the modern world and did several recordings. So people began to hear what this thing sounded like. And on that Lutheran Liturgical Prayer Brotherhood website, you can hear Dr. Mays just go to town on it. It's fabulous.
Another question, this one from Elizabeth. She says she loves Compline. She says her husband and I end every day with it, and it is such a wonderful blessing, anchoring us back where we should be. The CD music from the Lutheran Daily Prayer is extremely helpful in learning the music for the offices. I highly recommend it.
I do, too. That's a great CD.
That kind of raises a question with respect to the family again. We are bombarded in our age with music, but we don't sing it together so much anymore.
Right.
The family used to be gathered around the piano and sing Christmas carols, and now we put on the CD and listen to them. And the church is even doing this more and more, singing less together and more just listening to others, in particular professionals, sing. Why should we keep music like this in the home? Maybe Compline as a way of keeping it there.
It is a way of keeping it there, and just singing together as a family is really a vital part of forming spirituality. I mean, think about it. I've used this example before, but it always just sticks with me. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. I mean, that was probably 30 years, 40 years ago, whenever that commercial was, and those words still stick in my head after all this time. Why? Because they were set to music, and when we sing them especially, they can go deeper and deeper. I mean, what you hear sung, you can remember somewhat. You sure can. What you sing, you tend to remember for a lot longer. So the more we sing these beautiful words of Scripture into our hearts, the hearts and minds of our children, the longer those words are going to lodge. They're doing their faith-gifting job. Isn't that a good reason to do it?
So next time we talk with you, we're going to continue this series. Will we be at the opening of the day? What are we going to be talking about with about 30 seconds?
Next time we're going to start with Matins, and we're going to talk about the shape that that particular order has in the Lutheran Church.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain for the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Will, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Katie in Portland, Oregon, and Janice in Longmont, Colorado, if you'd send us your mailing addresses, talkback@issuesetc.org. We will send you the CD Evening and Morning. Thanks to Pastor Mark Erler and to the Saints of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, for helping support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through our congregational sponsorship program. We call it the Issues Etc. 300, a growing group of congregations that support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their annual budget. And speaking of budgets, your congregation may well be one of those that is planning the budget for that would begin and go into force in the very beginning of July. That means they're making those decisions now, a perfect time to ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. We've made it very simple for you. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. There's a one-page flyer that you can download, print off, and take to your congregation when you approach them with your request that they join the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about skeptics of Darwinism who are not religious. And then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us to respond to comments made by a lesbian activist, kind of some refreshing truth about the fact that pushing for gay marriage is not about keeping marriage, but about destroying it. We'll be right back.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. Jesus has come and brings pleasure. the 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, "It is my peace, and I give it to you."
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.